AI in New York at 99.5 FM on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org. Coming up at 2 p.m. will be Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera. Right now at 1 o'clock, stay tuned for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. A program meant to give you more understanding of yourself and the way people are. How they get that way, how they are, how you could deal with them. We had a tremendous response to a program we did this past week on emotional blackmail. Yes, we were talking about people who blackmail emotionally by either withdrawing or getting rageful. And it turns out that we had a biggest response, or more people requesting to get immediate copies of the program, because it seems clearly that somebody's hyper-emotionality is very confusing, especially if you love them. So today, I want to take one aspect of that. And I want to talk about what we call the borderline personality disorder, because it's not that all hyper-emotional people are borderline. They're not. But you should understand borderline personality. Borderline personality is a word that's used, and it's a misnomer. I mean, it's called a borderline. It probably should be called the emotionally unstable personality disorder, which is different than, you know, people who are nervous, people who are anxious, people who are narcissistic, people who are manic. It's different. It's different. So I'm going to try to translate to you some of what I've learned about in psychology about the borderline personality disorder, because I think it's something important for you to understand. Because I'll tell you, it's 10 to 20%. Somewhere in there, someone figured an average of 13% of almost all people who have a psychological problem have borderline personality, and it's 2% of the population. Now, that's a lot of folks. And they have it, and it's serious. Now, of that percentage, people with borderline personality frequently do damaging things, including attempt suicide. They have, they talk about suicide. 90% of the people who have borderline personality disorder talk about or threaten suicide. Now, what do you think that's like to a person who loves someone, who is hyper-emotional, and then goes off the loose end and then threatens suicide and then says, "You're the only one who could rescue me. You're the only person. It's all up to you." That's what we're going to talk about today, because I want you to understand, number one, how to see it in yourself or see it in someone you love, and number two, how to deal with it. This is Armand DeMille with you. Emotionality. What is emotionality? Emotionality means having feelings that sometimes are in, having feelings. That's emotionality. It's good to be emotional. It's good to have emotions. Emotions help us identify ourselves. What's the difference between me and you? It's very often not just the way we look, smell, or feel. It's about how we feel emotionally. It's about the way I feel as opposed to the way you feel. Now, having emotional reactivity is sometimes having the emotional reactivity of like a child, where you can't tolerate certain things and you don't want certain things and you wind up screaming and raging, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the one called the borderline personality disorder, or the one called the emotionally unstable personality disorder. Personality disorder is a funny word. I don't even like that. But we're going to do it. We're going to use it because I want you to understand from the way it's spoken about in psychiatry. This is somebody who has many qualities, and including the qualities is this ability to, it's called the as-if personality. I'm going to teach you about this one. It's interesting. Did you ever see the film called Gaslight with Ingrid Bergman? A very old film. An heiress who's newly married remarks to Charles Boyer, her ne'er-do-well husband, that the gas lights in the house seem to be dimming. And he says, no, they aren't, darling, he says. He says, you're imagining things. Ingrid Bergman soon feels like she's going mad. And he fawns over her, you know, and he says, and over time, it is actually his attempt to drive her crazy by making her believe that all her perceptions are wrong. The dimming gaslight is the perfect metaphor for the experience of living with somebody who has borderline personality. You almost think you're crazy because of the constant accusations and the feelings that that seem to be coming in your direction. You're going to be seeing much more of this. Now, the as-if personality, it's very interesting. The person suffering from borderline personality may appear completely normal, and they can act as if he or she has no problems. In a flash. In fact, many people with borderline personality disorder become professional actors. This as-if ability of BPD, which it's called, can be devastating to those who love them. So there you are for a moment, and you could be completely outraged. I remember the man who had a daughter who she had gone off the deep end. She was screaming and raging, and she locked herself in the bathroom, and he called the police. And so the police came, and they were waiting outside her door as she talked to them. And he got very, very concerned. And then finally, she came out, and she acted like she was regal. She acted as if she were Grace Kelly. She said, I'm fine. I don't know what's the matter. I just needed some time in the bathroom alone. That's the as-if personality. So one of the things about the borderline personality is that they can switch from being very, very, very emotionally distraught to being not distraught at all if perceived by other people. Couples therapy, which is an interesting thing. If people go to couples therapy, they come to see me as a couple. Very often one person will come in. And the reason they're coming in is because one is a borderline and the other one can't handle it. But when they get in front of me, the person who's a borderline could act as if they are perfectly normal and it's the other one who's crazy. You understand how you could get gaslit this way? You understand how eventually you start doubting your own insanity? It's a dance. The borderline accuses you. And this is an interesting thing. The whole thing about borderline personality, the whole thing about these rageful, let me give you a little more of what describes it. Hold on a second. Here's some of the descriptions. They have very stormy relationships. The one thing about a borderline personality is that no matter what, their relationships have a history of being really stormy. Stormy, fights, violence, things like that. The relationships are never calm. Somewhere in it, one or both people are always screaming. Number two, there's a lot of manipulativeness. Number three, there's usually a tendency towards masochism or sadism and almost act it out, you know? Almost as if, you know, you want to feel pain, like self-cutting or self really hurting yourself. Or inflicting pain on others. A lot of people in prison are borderline personality. There's about three times as many women as men are borderline personality, but among the men in prisons, 40% are diagnosed as borderline personality. Very interesting, don't you think? Now, borderline personality means at times you don't have any emotional control. You just don't have the control. Here's what happens. You feel things you don't want to feel. You see, so you have a feeling you don't like you get scared, or you get lonely, or you get afraid of yourself, or you can't stand being alone, or you fear being abandoned by somebody. Let's say you're with somebody and you have a date, and they say they're going to go off and they're going to go on vacation alone because they can't stand your intensity. Well, you have no impulse control. You can't stand it. You got to do anything but stop them from leaving. So what you'll do is you will rage out, you will attack, you will assault, you will manipulate, or you'll fall down and make believe you're dying. And you'll actually feel like you're dying in an effort to stop them from abandoning you, because the one thing about borderline personality also is they hate the thought of abandonment. So now they have a feeling like they're going to be left. In fact, they use the word abandon a lot. You'll hear them say, and you're going to abandon me? Which means you're going to go to the grocery store. You know, you're going to leave right now. You're going to take a break from me. Yes, the only way you're going to take, the only way you're going to deal with me is to abandon. Abandon's a big word to them. So here you are dealing with somebody who is now raging at you and screaming at you. And why are they doing it? What's going on? You don't know where it's coming from. But it seems somewhat logical. They're yelling at you because you turned away when they were talking to you. You don't really get it. But if you're with a borderline personality disorder, and if you are the person who is the non-borderline, which doesn't mean you're sane, but if you're the non-borderline, if you're the one who's not a borderline, you are certainly confused by the emotions being thrown in your direction, and you try to handle them in some way. Towards the end of the program, we're going to try to teach you how you can handle it a little better. Right now, I'm going to work on the definitions of it. I started talking about the feelings. You have a feeling, if you're a borderline personality, you have a feeling you can't stand. You have a feeling of feeling angry, for example. But you can't stand your feelings, or you feel sad. You can't stand your feelings. So here's the trick of being a borderline. You accuse the other person of having the very feeling that you're denying in yourself. Now, let's run that around in your mind a little bit. So let's say you're depressed, or you feel some depression coming on, but you don't want to feel it. You accuse the other person of being depressed. If you're feeling hostile and you don't want to face your hostility, you accuse them of being hostile. Now, they don't know it, because if you, the borderline, if you feel, you never feel it. You don't know that it's not you feeling it. But you know the old saying, when you point your finger at somebody, you point four fingers back at yourself. So that's kind of what it's about. When you're accusing somebody, if you're a borderline personality, you're accusing somebody of what you truly feel, but you're afraid to feel it. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I hope you're getting this, friends, because this is, I guarantee you, if one out of 10 people have this, you're related to somebody or know somebody or work with somebody or love somebody who has borderline personality disorder. I mean, imagine what it's like if you're a parent, you're a mother, and you have a child, and your child grows up, and for whatever reason, your child develops borderline personality disorder. Here you are loving your kid, and all of a sudden she turns on you, accuses you, attacks you, yells at you, screams at you, says that you're abusing her, cuts off all communication with you. What do you think that feels like as a mom? Because borderline personality disorder is it's an ailment. You know, it's an illness. I mean, once you got it, you're stuck with it, because it's all about kind of blaming everybody on the outside. Among the signs that you see, there are certain traits involving emotions, like there are shifts in moods that can only last a few hours. They can be rageful, but it's fast. See, it's a fast rage. And then they could just kind of switch. They have inappropriate anger, and the anger is intense and frequently uncontrollable. The reason we have so many people in prison who have borderline personality disorder is because they couldn't control their anger. So they struck out. They couldn't control their needs. You know, if somebody didn't feel, if somebody was able to control his feeling of emptiness, need, and stuff like that, he may not break into the grocery store to try to get some money. He may not take a gun and go assault something, you know? So most of the people who act out, meaning that they can't control themselves, those that wind up in prison usually are of that grouping. That's why in the prison, imagine you have so many borderline people together. Now, I'm not saying all prisoners are borderline, many are not. But frequently among the men in prisons, this is what you see. Other traits involving borderline are these self-destructive acts, such as self-mutilation, suicide threats, and gestures that happen more than once. Two potentially self-damaging impulsive behaviors could include, they usually have two, not just one, alcohol, drug abuse, compulsive spending, gambling, eating disorders, shoplifting, reckless driving, or compulsive sexuality. Now, compulsive sexuality is a big story here. Because why would anybody love a borderline personality? And one of the beauties that people find with a borderline personality is reckless abandon. And sometimes finding somebody who is willing to be abandoned, totally abandoned sexually, could be very appealing. So you could find someone, I'm going to use a man and a woman in this example, but it could be just the opposite. It could be a woman and a man, it could be a woman and a woman. But somebody goes out and he finds somebody who's a borderline, and she could be the most wonderful, limitless sexual experience of his life. Fantastic sex. Fantastic. Taking him to places he never imagined. No limits. Nothing is stopped. There's nothing that gets in between you and your desires. And you've never had this experience before, so you call it love. And you fall in love. You actually feel so much stuff that you could feel yourself completely attached to that other person, as they do to you as well. Because through their sexuality, they are bonding with you. You see, borderlines have a difficulty having relationships, but sexual relationships are easier. So they bond with you, and they're very tightly bonded around sex. And you may be bonded with them because the sex is very powerful as well. So it's the good news, the good thing about it. But so there's a lot of sexual stuff that usually comes up with borderlines, including a lot of sexual, sometimes identity problems. Like, a borderline doesn't have a real sense of self. Borderline personalities sometimes have a real doubt about themselves, so they don't know. Are they straight? Are they not straight? What is their orientation? They can't really tell. So, very often, another sign that you'll see is a marked persistent identity disturbance shown by uncertainty. An uncertainty about self-image, uncertainty about career choice, uncertainty about friendships, uncertainty about long-term goals. People with borderline personality disorder may not feel like they know who they are or what they think or what their opinions are or what their religion they should be. Instead, they may try to think other people want them to be. They may try to think what other people want them to be, see, and figure it out. Somebody who had borderline personality once said to me, "I have a hard time figuring out my personality. I tend to be whoever I'm with." You see, I kind of, because that's more of the as if. I could take on the role. I could act anything. This is Armand DeMille with you, talking about emotional reactions and talking about people who have intense emotional reactions. I'm talking from my clinical experience of over 35 years and the training and schooling that I have in the field of psychology. Another trait involving, there's a kind of a chronic feeling of emptiness or boredom. You know, we all have a kind of a default. If we let it all go, what do we feel like? Emptiness and boredom are common feelings that borderlines have. It's almost like if there is no fire, there is no life. So they're always creating a fire somewhere. In their relationships, the relationships are always unstable, chaotic, intense relationship, characterized by splitting. Now, let me tell you what splitting is. Splitting is where you see everything as black and white, where you see everything as all good or all bad. You're either madly in love or you completely hate the other person. In fact, hate is a big word for borderline personality disorder. They use it a lot. I hate him. I can't stand him. I hate the way this person is. I want to take your calls related to this today because there's got a lot more to go with this. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. I'm giving you a diagnosis, and I hate to do that because, you know, it's just a diagnosis. But I want you to understand that if you are related to somebody with borderline personality disorder, you are giving them a great gift by recognizing this disorder. Because a little further on, I'm going to be talking about the borderline dance and the non-borderline dilemma. If you are somebody who has trouble with anger, for example, and you get related to somebody who is a borderline, and it's a frequent thing, you're going to find yourself completely trapped. And you're trapped in this seesaw battle of emotionality going back and forth. I want to talk to you about it because if you could identify it, if you could see it, if you could recognize it, it's not going to do you any good to throw it at your partner and say, you're a borderline, there you are, because that doesn't work. Because here's another characteristic about the borderline personality, they hate categories. If you give them a category, they hate it. If you tell them they look one way or another, or they are one way or another, they absolutely hate it. They refuse to take tests. Sometimes if somebody comes in my office and they've got borderline personality disorder, they don't want to fill out the forms. They're the exceptions. If anyone is late for them, they could get outraged because they cannot stay within boundaries. Borderline personality people very rarely can keep jobs. When they do keep jobs, it's not for a very long period of time because after a short period of time, they have to adhere to certain rules and limitations. And limitations is like taking somebody who is a firebrand, you know, somebody who's just energetic field and putting them in a box and they feel trapped. So before they feel trapped and they'll have the job, they'll start finding fault with the job. Then they'll find fault with the boss. They'll start with things like, I can't stand these fluorescent lights. These fluorescent lights give me a headache. And then the boss will try to deal with the fluorescent lights. And he'll say, okay, so we'll try to, let's get some natural light. Well, let's get a lamp. Okay, well, let's get a lamp. And then a little stuff will happen. And little by little, eventually the boss will realize, wait a minute, this is a person who's never solidly held on to a job. Right? He or she has only had a job for 4 or 5 months at a time. And each time there was a job, there was something wrong with the employer. And here I am now trying to fix things to make them feel more comfortable, but they're not going to be here long. See? So if you're somebody who understands this, you part in a very nice kind of way. But if you're not, you could become the other side of it. You could become the victim of this emotionality to a level where you are practically, well, you could easily get sued. Many borderline personalities try to bring lawsuits and sue people for things. They love to do that because they want to get you to feel to suffer because they feel justified in what they're doing. Unfortunately, because they tend to be so disorganized, that the being able to act normal for a period of time to bring the lawsuit breaks down. And by the time they get to bringing the suit, they are seen as being somebody who's out of control. I think we saw some of this with the Michael Jackson trial. You were seeing some borderline personality stuff in there to invalidate the accuser. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Let's start off with a couple of calls, then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back. And I'll give you more information. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take a call. Hi.
Oh, hi. I completely didn't expect to get through, and I'm going to turn my radio down.
Thank you.
Okay. I dated someone who I thought was borderline, and I really related to what you were saying. He was a darling, darling person in a lot of ways, but completely unmanageable.
And in many ways, let me ask you about his unmanageability. Was he angry?
He was very angry, and he would rage for hours about traffic, about his job, about his family, about the government, about ex-girlfriends, about relatives, everything, about the weather. There was nothing that escaped his rage.
Nothing that did. So, and I'm glad you're on WBAI, where many of us feel that way at times. But the kind of, you could tell that it was a little more than normal, a little more than realistic, right?
Right, because it would go on for hours.
Blaming the outside for what he feels on the inside. And this is the amazing thing about it. Now, let me ask you, this is very important. What's your name?
My name's Karen.
Karen, what is the, what was your attraction to him? What was beautiful about him? What was what was fantastic about him. Now, had you seen anybody with this level of loving and passion before?
No.
Isn't that great?
No, and well, I'm a musician, and so is he. And he was the best musician I've ever played with, the best musician I've ever heard anywhere. And he's adorable. And he's got big green eyes and long blonde hair and long eyelashes, and he's just the sweetest-looking little thing you could imagine. And he's also extremely passionate about music, and he loved me, and completely.
Well, and that's another part. See, one of the characteristics I was talking about was the splitting, the black-white. They have such, they could put you up on a pedestal and adore you to a point where they could worship you. And that must have felt awful nice somebody love you so much.
Yeah.
And what did you bounce off? What was the relationship like before then? The previous one.
Well, they were okay, but there wasn't the level of connection that I felt like I had with him. I didn't feel like I had the kind of emotional synergy that I wanted. And then when I met this guy, it seemed like we were just connected on so many levels that, you know, it was irresistible.
So, Karen, let me ask you this one question. Did you have, in your own life as you know yourself, do you have a tendency to be very reserved or even like a little depressed?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's look at how beautiful this is. Here is this guy who is just complete fire. Right? He's complete fire, and
yeah,
that your depression didn't stand a chance in front of him because he would pull you out of that depression.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that drew me to him is that he made me laugh so hard I would fall over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how can you say no to that?
Well, it would mean that comedians are having a lot of good times.
Yeah.
But you can't say no, but it's according to where you are. If you're somebody who is just feeling like, boy, I wish somebody could come along to bring me outside of myself. I wish there was somebody strong enough to lift me, somebody who could enlighten me, somebody who could love me, adore me, be passionate with me, make love to me with an unlimited sense of self. Did you ever get that unlimited sense of his sexuality as well?
No, not so much. I would get it, not sexually when we were having sex, but when we were playing together.
When you were playing, so it was like a childlike thing? Oh, when you were playing music.
Yeah, just
What instruments do you two play?
What?
What instruments do you two play?
I play guitar and he's a bassist.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that wonderful? I mean, he's really pulling your strings. He's really, really moving along, putting down a line for you to really feature yourself, you know?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. So then it turned crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
How did it turn crazy? What was the first sign of it?
What was that?
What was the first sign? When did he turn it against you?
I went on a bike ride, and he was supposed to come pick me up afterwards, and he wasn't there. And so it was just very odd, because we had talked about it throughout the day. I called him on the cell phone to tell him when I was done, and he wasn't there. And finally, 3 hours later, he shows up at my house, and I asked him what happened, and he had this crazy story about how the sun was too hot, and so he went to look for shade, and he couldn't find any shade, and there were all these gay guys looking at him on the street, and that freaked him out, so he was trying to get inside, but there were just gay bars around, so he didn't know what to do. And I said, well, where were you? And he went out on the bike course to try to find me, but then he couldn't find me, and so he came back here, and then he went back there, and It was just nuts. And then he started raging about what an idiot he was and how awful the city is and, you know, how he gets way too much attention from homosexuals. I mean, it was just, I'd never seen anything like it.
It was breaking down. And that,
yeah,
that's it. It starts breaking down and you start realizing it. Well, it was quite a, dance.
Well, it sure was. And it went on for another, I don't know, 11 months or so.
Yeah, I hear you. Karen, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, a little music for you, as usual. Citizen Cope. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York. We'll be right back.
I'll carry you in the hurricane waters. That's exactly what it feels like. And of all people, Citizen Cope. C-O-P-E. C-O-P-E. Citizen Cope, Hurricane Waters. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Borderline Personality. With the Positive Mind, talking about borderline personalities and the non-borderline dilemma of trying to be related to somebody who has this hyper-emotionality that can be accusatory and destructive. And, you know, I mean, part of the way, in case you just tuned in, we're talking about a condition that some people have that is so, affects about 2 to 10% of the population. And the people who have it are very, very emotional, and they seem like they don't know anything is wrong with them. You see, if you have somebody in your life who's a borderline, they have no boundaries. And this thing about boundaries is very important, because whatever they wind up feeling, whatever, if they're sad, you're sad. If they're hurt or afraid, you wind up having those feelings. They don't realize that, in effect, what they're really doing is to push people away. Because the greatest fear that a borderline has is to be abandoned. Yet, the very behaviors that they do eventually result in the hopelessness and powerlessness of the person who's in love with them. If you're in love with somebody who's a borderline, you're going to eventually leave them. You have to leave them, otherwise you're going to die. And so you leave them and you fulfill this prophecy. The greatest fear they have is being abandoned. Their whole desire, all of this agitation and anger that they have with you, and accusation and blaming, is all about trying to hold on to you. See, they're trying to get something going. And it works exactly the way that it would be the most terrible for them. It gets you to leave. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. So we talked a little earlier about emotional blackmail that we did on a previous program, and today we're combining that with this about the borderline personality, which is very important, and I'm going to teach you what may be a possible better way of handling this dance. Because if you've been in the middle of it with a hyper-emotional, borderline, extreme kind of person who is destructive, you're going to know the dance. You could smell it coming. You could smell it. It's like the full moon. All of a sudden, it's a simple question. Did you call for the taxi? Right? And you kind of hear it somewhere. I when did you call for the taxi? Uh-oh. And the tone comes in. You never think about it in advance. You never, and then the accusations start happening and all of the things, and you start defending yourself. And as you're defending yourself, or if you're the borderline, this is what you're doing. You see, and then all of a sudden they're defending themselves, and somehow it becomes this crazy kind of crazy-making behavior where you just don't know what to do. And sometimes what you wind up doing is screaming. You know, whenever there's police called on some kind of a dispute, that's a household dispute, there's usually a borderline in action. Usually somebody there is borderline, then the police show up, and then the borderline does their as if. You know, they seem normal, and they make the other person seem crazy. He started it. He hit me. Right? And they seem calm, and so the police will arrest the other person. So how do you handle it? What do you do? Here's the dilemma. The dilemma is you love them. The dilemma is that yet again, rage, anger, unmet needs, wants, demands, helplessness, and so on. So the question is, how do I not go there? How do I set a boundary? How do I, as the partner, not get involved in this thing that's going on? Well, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to ask yourself a question. The first thing you must decide, what is it that you cannot live without anymore? Now, you know, it's not the person you cannot live without. It's the behavior. You cannot live with that behavior anymore. Second to this, if there are children around, you really have a responsibility to not live with this behavior. But that's tough because, you know, if part of what you're going to do is your solution is leave the house, you're frequently leaving that person with the children. You know, then it really demands more attention. But let's say it's just you and the other person alone. You have to decide what you can't live with anymore. Once you've identified that, you have to do that difficult task of communicating that to your partner. I want you to know that if you become hyper emotional and accusatory and you come after me and you get rageful, I'm not going to engage you any longer. Now, this is brutal, because when you try to do it, get ready, Jericho is coming. I mean, you know, it's going to be, well, you don't really care. You don't care what I do. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going inside and getting the knife, any number of things. But there's a part of you that is saying to yourself, I don't want to live with this anymore. And I don't want to live with that behavior, and I've got to do something about the behavior. Once you've identified it, you communicate it. You do not wish to experience this dance over and over again, because every time you do it with your partner, it gets a little worse. It becomes more. Okay, you've identified the problem. Now you've decided what your limits and boundaries are. You have a plan of action ready to implement and consistently stick to it. At this point, it's time to talk, you know, to begin the difficult process. It's important that you're non-accusatory. It is important that you say to them, you know, when you get very emotional and you start accusing me, I start feeling so frustrated and so upset, and I don't want to be that way, so I'm going to leave. If we can't talk in some tone that's somewhat civil, I don't want to be screaming and yelling, I'm going to leave because I can't handle it. So you make it non-accusatory, you make it your own failing. You have to identify and communicate, but you have to keep your boundaries. This is the important thing. As I said about emotional blackmail, boundaries are critically important. And just in case I forget, if you want a copy of the Emotional Blackmail Program or this program today, you could call 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488, because we can make a copy available to you, because you might be in the middle of this right now. Right now, we're going to take more calls on it too. So you're going to make a clear statement that you're not going to stand to it. The person who's the borderline will continue to press or escalate his or her behavior to have you disengage in whatever you've set out for yourself. They'll get you to break your own rules. And they'll get you to do it. I mean, it's going to work because this stuff is very powerful. It's worked all the time before. Now, if you're finding you've set boundaries and you can't do it, it may be impossible for you to stay within the boundaries. By staying in the setting, you have to take a break. You got to walk away. You got to find another part of the house where you can close the door, or you have to take a walk outside the house. Now, keep in mind that this triggers the fear of abandonment that the borderline has, and you don't want to be manipulating it. You want to say to them, look, darling, I know you're very upset, but I'm not going to be a part of this, and I'm not leaving you. I will be back. But I'm going to take a distance from this right now. Now, all of this makes a little sense until you really do it. Then you're going to find yourself in your own kind of hell. And if you're a borderline person and you're somebody who knows this about yourself, go find therapy. Because in a psychotherapy, they will help you start working through your emotions so that you don't have to react this way. Once you start attaining your freedom, a funny thing happens to you. It begins to hurt. Almost like you don't want your partner to be sane or be behaving properly. So there's usually two sides in this dance. So you could expect that you're going to have a resistance inside yourself from disengaging in well. But it's going to hurt. Life and recovery has taught me if there's anything that is important, you cannot grow and change without feeling pain. You have to be willing to feel pain to grow and change. Because just like the very muscles that are going to stretch to give you more muscles, and the nerves that have to stretch to give you more nerves, even like, you know, it's like stretching your body. It's going to hurt somewhere. And you have to be willing to feel hurt to grow. We're going to we have much more to say about it, but let's take another call. I'm sure there are people who are on the line. 212-209-2900 is our number here at WBAI. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I don't know if you describe, it sounds like you're describing my relationship that I have with my husband. When you talk about the dance of the two, you know, the two,
Go ahead, you're doing good, and I know it's difficult words.
Yeah, I don't think that it's, I think when it's a relationship that if the one person has this borderline personality or something similar to it, it's also there's something going on with the other person.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That sticks with that, and I think that it's hard to tell when you're in the relationship who's the one.
Well, you know, that's kind of true, because if both engage, you don't know. Especially, that's especially true if you have somebody who's used to being a controlling person. Now, who's the controller? Who is more controlling, you or your husband?
My husband, I think.
He's a controller. Now, he's a guy, I kind of put this along, I call them cowboys. They like to corral passionate people. They like to get somebody who gets very emotional, and they kind of see it almost like a challenge, so they take it on. Does he take you on?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because a lot of the things that you say about it, it fits with him, but a lot of things don't also, because he's very controlled even with his emotion. He doesn't do the abandonment thing. I think I do that more, or we go back and forth with it, I think. It's very hard to tell.
Yes, and so I don't want to have to force a diagnosis on anyone, but it may be possibly you're the person with the borderline personality disorder. It's possible. If you even entertain the thought, you know, and you're willing to think about it, you know, that might add something to your relationship as is. Do you ever find yourself feeling things that are, you know, do you ever believe that anything that happens is really your fault? Or do you believe that it's always his fault?
Well, he had a lot of other issues, too. And I think that definitely we both had really bad relationship problems to begin with when we got together. I think I did a lot of work on that myself. But we're separated now. I did have to ask him to leave. And that was very hard. That was a very hard, hard.
Yeah, you saw that pain. Isn't that something?
Well, and it was hard to get him to leave, too. It was very,
sure.
Very hard. You know, when you talk about police being called and everything like that, it was a very similar situation that I couldn't get him to leave.
You know, Lynn. Okay, well, here's what I want to say, Lynn. Congratulations on making that break, but you saw the difference. You saw what it was like to go through the pain of it. Once you made your commitment, you knew you had to make this break.
I made the break. He moved out, but we still have a relationship, and that's where I don't make the break.
Well, let me ask you something. Is the relationship one of courtesy and respect?
More so than it was.
That's it. If you can't have courtesy and respect, then you got to cut it completely. I think it's the basic element of all human relationships. If there's no courtesy and no respect, you know, then it can't go on.
Yeah, and I don't think that we could live together ever again because it was just unbelievably ridiculous.
Well, here's the other good news. If it is the borderline personality disorder, the other good news is that age changes it. And it really does. There's something.
Because you mellow with age.
You know, when they say you mellow with age, sometimes the basis of the borderline personality disorder and a lot of kind of disorders, psychological disorders that people have, is an overabundant energy, you know, that they have, a nervousness. And that nervousness calms down as your metabolism calms down. And when that calms down, something like the borderline personality can actually just kind of fizzle. You know, there are not many 80-year-old borderline personalities.
So we have to wait till we're 80.
Sure. Sure. And the two of you could have some fun.
Right.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Let me turn my radio down. I just wanted to comment on... I'm going through a lot of changes in my life. I was in a long relationship about 10 years with someone who was definitely borderline personality disorder. I think I had it myself. We both were seriously self-medicating with marijuana, habitual use of it, to sort of calm our storms here and there. But we never did marry. We didn't have any kids. And we broke up about a year and a half ago. And I've gone through a lot. I stopped smoking, and my head is completely clear. And what you're saying is just hitting me to the core of my being. And I really want to thank you for...
Well, what part of it hits you? Tell me about it.
All right. Well, pretty much the fact that you were able to describe the types of situations that you will encounter while you're in a relationship with someone with borderline. You know, the constant fighting, the arguing, the pointing, you know, your finger, and really you're dealing with emotions yourself. The fact that she, you know, never kept a job for more than 4 or 5 months. And we're talking about someone far more intelligent than me, in you know, terms of education, a much higher education than I ever had, you know, pre-law. Now she's going to be a nurse. I mean, this is someone really intelligent. And, you know, I've broke myself off from it completely because it was causing me so much pain in my life. And I left. And then just like the other woman who had just called, we kept it going on even though we weren't together. And
well, it's one of the aspects of borderline personality is that they maintain attachment. That yeah. Even if you break up, it's like there's a tentacles that are out stretching across, staying attached. Because
oh,
remember, a bend.
Your chakras are actually connected. Well, at least that's what metaphysical, you know, people are telling me that you actually do. You build these very intricate and delicate. Cords that attach to people that you have relationships with, whether it's your mother, your father, your loved ones, and you know, healers and stuff. They claim that they can, you know, actually visualize these and help you clear them out and other stuff. I just think it's a good, you know, visualization tool anyway. But I totally agree with that.
Yes. So one of the things that we find is that it's sometimes like an addiction. You know, when you're trying to do it, what you've got to do is go cold turkey for a little period of time with no contact and then reestablish the contact. Because you've got to go through the pain.
So
what?
Much.
Did you ever hear, have you ever heard the men's series that I did?
No, this is the first time I've ever heard you.
Oh my gosh almighty, listen.
I picked up a car from my rental place, the radio was on the station, and it's like, bam. I feel like I've been, you know, hit in the head.
Great, what's your name?
My name's David.
David, thank you for being here. WBAI is the program you're listening to, 99.5 FM. Usually you hear very intelligent stuff. You made one comment about the borderline, which is very important, is that they tend, unfortunately, to be very intelligent. And so the intelligence becomes very convoluted in the arguments, you know? They have an intelligent argument. They can kind of turn it on a dime. And it's a swift mind that you're always dealing with. So intelligence kind of goes along with the borderline personality. But you should, I mean, here's a thing for you that's an absolute gift. If you go to a website called thepositivemind.com, that's my website, www.thepositivemind.com, there is a thing called streaming. And in the streaming, it means that there are programs that you could hear anytime, day or night, anytime, 7 days a week, and it's free. It costs nothing. So all you do is you plug into the series on men. Now, the series on men for you, David, it's called The Psychology of Men. You're going to find a real blessing in there. You're going to find something in there that's really going to touch your heart and make a big difference in your life. Just trust. You don't know me, but I happen to be intuitive. Okay? I'm sure you're still there. 212-209-2900. Let me take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Oops, we had someone. We've got just a couple of minutes to go. Let's go see if we can get one more.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. My name's Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
I've called before, and I've had an extreme experience with somebody who had this borderline personality. I asked a psychologist, a friend, about it, and he said she definitely has this.
Yep.
And the episodes were incredible. The sex was incredible. Everything you're saying about them was absolutely true. We kept breaking up because she would start fights over absolute nonsense, and I would have to leave because I couldn't handle it. And I couldn't resist going back because it was so much fun. It was manic, depressive, obsessive, compulsive, and paranoid, schizophrenic, all rolled into one.
Amazing. And you got good vernacular. So listen, Johnny, I've got to get going, but the one thing that you say that's very important and I want people to hear is the passionate nature of the relationship is exquisite. That there is a part of it that was absolutely unlike anything before. And then of the other part of the passion, which is the rage, was really almost impossible to deal with.
Right. It was heaven and hell.
Yeah, I understand.
It was both. I mean, just as you say, and how.
Yeah, I'm afraid we've got to be going, Johnny. I wish I could stick with you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. If you want a copy of today's program, you would call 212-757-4488. The website is thepositivemind.com. Incredible. Incredible stuff. We'll continue this. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.